testing 661. CYM testing 661. Is anyone around?
Hey, Karen, you're sounding very good and very loud down in Spartanburg, W2T. Good afternoon.
All right, Rusty. Tom in 2PNE just got it back on the air, hopefully. No antenna. Hopefully, next month I'll be able to run the nets again.
That's good. That's good. Like I said, you're sounding good right now and not a problem.
Sound good, too, down there in Spartanburg. Okay, thank you for coming back to me.
All right, we'll talk to you later. You take it easy, and we'll catch you after a while. W2T.
WD4CYM. WD4CYM, KN4RJN. How you doing, Karen? She must turn the radio off, Rusty. KN4RJN, clear.
Just to talk to you, John. In 0TR for a moment.
Hey, Tom. So what are you up to?
Oh, I was just going to log in here to my computer and look at the radar and go out and mow grass. You got any spare time?
I just got back from taking my wife's car and get oil changed, tires rotated, and all that kind of happiness. I got my grass mowed the other day, so I don't have to mess with that right now. But I got some other stuff underneath the house I need to work on.
Well, being you got that done, why don't you just run over here and mow mine for me? I heard you done a nice job.
Well, I haven't got a trailer to put the lawnmower on, and the lawnmower doesn't go that fast, so it'll probably take me a couple days to get to your place. And I don't have a license plate on the back of it anyway, so the local gendarmes will probably not take kindly to that.
Why they turn you loose with it, but that's not a problem. See, I got a real nice lawnmower here. Now think of another excuse. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, it's real close to my nap time right now, and the dog's demanding attention. And let's see, I'll think of something. Give me a minute.
Never. Are you saying the dog's more important than me?
She seems to think so.
Well, you're probably right. I used to laugh at our bird dogs who came up to Bernice, and Bernice had a swing business at home up in Kansas, and she was always very, very busy, and Minnie would come out to the back porch and sit there and stare at her. Well, Bernice don't like to be stared at, so pretty soon Bernice kept on and so on, and she's very quiet and doesn't pay much attention to her, and so she sticks one paw up in her lap and sits there staring at her, and Bernice keeps it going. And pretty soon, she sticks the other paw up there and then licked her in the face, and it was time to go for a walk.
Yeah, my dog curls up on her bed here next to my desk, and when it's time to either go out or eat, or she just wants to go up and visit with somebody else, she'll come up and start. And sometimes she'll climb up in the chair, which is somewhat awkward because it's a small chair and a 60-pound dog. But in any event, she lets me know when she needs something like that.
Yeah, they have their ways, don't they? Oh, my youngest daughter here lost one this last week. And, boy, it's almost like losing a child, you know, and they'd had her 10 and a half years, and she got sick suddenly and had a severe liver problem, and she didn't suffer long, but that's the only goodness in the whole thing about it, John, because it just tears your heart out. And, I see a lot of these scumbag protesters and that. I'd treat them for a good dog, but don't say I said that, of course.
Well, I just got a new Science News in the mail, and they have a better formula for calculating a dog's age in human terms. And you don't just multiply by 7. What you do is you take the natural log of the dog's age, multiply by 16, and add 31. And based on that calculation, my dog is my age. She's 66.
out and shoot her, she's getting that old, John.
How old did you say you were, Tom?
Well, it's 27.
She shot you a long time ago, then.
Jeez. shoot. Yeah, sometimes I wonder if that'd be the easy way out. Like Bernice said this morning, we was listening to something. What was that, Bernice? Always something comes up. Life's a bowl full of cherries, but then sometimes it ain't.
Hey, so how you doing?
How about you?
You still putting up with that old fool?
Yes, I am.
That would be a Father Against Radical Teenagers, F-A-R-T.
That. We used to have one of those when I was in the cavalry. They took an old ambulance truck, painted it camouflage, and equipped it with radios and whatnot. And the commander used to take it out to go out to the front lines to see how the exercises were doing. And they called it the Forward Area Reconnaissance Truck.
Yeah, you probably never knew about it. I could tell you one the kids pulled on my sister when she was a music teacher for many years. She passed away now. But they brought her a present one time, and she was very proud of it, and set it on the piano there in the music class. And till one day, one of the boys told her what it was, and she just turned red as a beet. But, of course, the kids didn't tell her that when they give it to her.
Peter's got a lot of static on her, has had for the last few days. You notice that?
I really didn't, John. I'm just sitting here watching the old pickers. I heard Rusty on there a bit ago. He was clear as a bell. Now, occasionally, Steve up there, I think he's on a handy talkie, and occasionally he's got quite a bit of static on him. He moves off his spot or something.
A little brief bit of static in between you and me?
Getting, John.
Interesting, I'm getting it down here. I don't know what, I haven't looked at the radar. It was sunny earlier, and it's a little cloudy now, so there may be some electrical stuff going on between me and you, or close to me anyway, if you're not hearing it.
I'm not hearing anything. I'm going to bring up the radar here in a minute. And I kind of, you know, I was out gathering eggs there and some cucumbers a minute ago, and it was starting to look kind of nasty up in the northwest.
Did you hear any of that just now? I was talking because it was acting like that. It's been acting like that for the last few days. I keep, you know, just bits of static. No audio or sound like anybody's trying to transmit. Just static and punching their, breaking the receiver. I was talking to Dave, W4DJW, and he said there was a meteor shower that is apparently quite intensive, and he said that signals that are normally would just go out into space are bouncing off the tails of these things and bouncing back down and hitting various repeaters. He said you could hear Colorado and Texas talking, and then it would come through on this repeater. It's like, that's just really odd.
I think it's a Perseid's meteor shower, John. It peaked two or three days ago. There was one of the biggies, but it was overcast here, so wasn't much chance of seeing it. And of course, you needed to go out late. You needed to be away from any city lighting, and I have a yard light that's kind of hard to do, but they are fun. Used to love to go out to the farm there in Kansas, and my brother-in-law, he never knew that you could see the satellites coming over. I showed him the space station and the satellites, and right after dusk, you could see them. quite well. But I wasn't aware that that could happen with the repeaters, but I had a buddy that used to talk high-speed Morse code off of the meteors as they come into the atmosphere.
I haven't gotten my scope out in ages either. It's been too hot or too cloudy or I had something else going on, but I used to track the Iridium satellites. They're communication satellites. There's a whole cluster of them up there. And they're basically flat on four sides and highly reflective. And if you happen to catch one as it turns towards the sun, it's almost like pointing a mirror at the sun, and the things will flare in the sky, and they'll be the brightest thing in the sky for just a few seconds. I used to get a kick out of watching those.
John, I've never seen them, but I know when the Iridiums were first launched, I think I thought it was touted as being unsuccessful or something, but there was a bunch of them up there.
Whole constellation of them. I forget how many there are, but I've seen them flare two or three times, and it's amazing. And you look up there and go, what was that? You know, something just all of a sudden is the brightest thing in the sky for just a few seconds, and then it disappears. But I used to track them on my, had a program on my cell phone, and could track them and know when they were coming over, and we'd watch for them. And my son and I'd go out in the backyard. It's almost time. Let's run out there. We go out and watch the flare, and it was a pretty amazing thing to see.
Yeah, great times, I'll tell you. Well, the funniest thing I ever had happen was my nephew was flying MD-80s at the time. He flies 787s now. But he was coming from Chicago, I think it was, and going to someplace in New Mexico. And he had got in touch with me, I don't remember how, email or something, and probably not back then, probably just called me, but he said go outside at this time, and just so happened I had a very old amateur radio operator, W0RRL, Jim Wilson, was visiting my house, and my ham shack was in the garage, and so anyways, I had the beam pointed in the bearing to the northwest towards Chinook, Kansas, and by that time I heard Steve, and he asked me if I copied him, and he had asked permission to transmit from the cockpit. He was a co-pilot, and he had a handy-talkie standing up in the cockpit, I guess, and it was just clear as a bell, and he says, go outside and look to the northwest, Rouse. So I went outside, and he says, now keep watching. And he turned on the maintenance lights on the bottom of the aircraft, and they were at 30-some thousand feet, John. And I said, wow, that's really neat, Steve. And he says, you finally seen the light, Ralph.
Okay, then. Well, hopefully the FAA didn't find out about that one. But in any event, I gotta go take care of a couple things here, and I'll let you go on about whatever it is you're doing, and I'm gonna back on out of here. So 73's to you, drive safe. Bernice, take care of him and keep him out of trouble. The KN4RJ, and I'm gonna clear on out of here. Bye-bye.
Okay, John. Well, he asked permission from the captain, and of course, at that time, they were on full autopilot. And I don't think 2 meters was going to cause him to crash the plane or anything. But he had HF capabilities in that plane also. They didn't use them very much, but he could talk to you on HF. I've talked to quite a few, not quite a few, but some freighters. 747s and DC-10s and L-1011s and that on HF. Occasionally you'll catch aeronautical mobiles And I talked to a guy in a P-51 Mustang one time out in California. That was pretty cool. And I got his card with a P-51 on it. And he must not have been on the same pay grade I was. Those aren't cheap. All right, John, K4RGN. This is N0TR. I'm going to head out to the lawnmower. Means you're not going to help me. Have a good day. 73, this is N0TR.
Take care of yourself, K4RJ, and I am clear.